scripture says of us believers in relation to our Lord that though you have not seen him, yet you love him.
Yeah.
And that's the condition that we're in right now. But there will come a day when we will see him as he is. And what a glorious, glorious day that will be. Well, the message today is going to be coming out of the Psalms. So find Psalm 122 here in just a moment. I'll read just the first verse of Psalm 122. But before I do, I just kind of want to give a little preview or a little bit of an announcement. Remember that last week we finished up our series in Daniel, and it is my intention to begin an upcoming series in the New Testament book of Ephesians. We'll probably begin that next month in November sometime, but I kind of wanted to give you a heads up so that you can start making preparation in your thoughts and in your hearts on what's going to be coming around the corner. In fact, just providentially, noticed that the January Bible study Lifeway puts out is in Ephesians, and so we do have the little Ephesians books, kind of a little study guide that's kind of a short study of the book. And so those that have ordered those, they're over here. You can pick them up after the service. But let me just say that, you know, the best study guide for the Bible is the Bible. And so I want to encourage all of us to begin reading the book of Ephesians. We have this series, you know, upcoming, and I don't know if you're, you know, hopefully you're on some kind of a Bible reading schedule, but let me encourage you to read from the book of Ephesians every day. You know, it's just a small little book, six chapters. You could read one chapter a day, and each week you could read through the book of Ephesians. And so before we start preaching through it, you would have read it through four times. Or if you really want to jump in, you can read the book every day. You know, it's just a short little book. About the same time it'd take you to watch a sitcom, you could probably read the book. But if you read it every day, and, you know, if you read it about 20 or so times before we started our series, I bet you'll be chomping at the bit to hear a message on Ephesians. And if I read it every day and read it through about 20 times before we started, I'm going to be chomping at the bit to preach it. So let me just encourage you to begin reading the book of Ephesians as we prepare ourselves for that upcoming series. Now, before we get to Ephesians, we're going to do things maybe a little bit different than I usually do in our message time. You'll notice today there's no notes. That's to keep you on your toes. They will be made available if you want them after the service. If you would like them, we'll make them available. But for the next few weeks, I want to kind of concentrate on some topical topical type of messages. Generally, we're kind of expositional and, you know, going through a book, but I want to be a topical over the next few weeks. I'm going to try a little bit different style of message today, being a topical with really a focus on being very, very practical. I do know that that's kind of a weak element in my preaching, just in my study and how I focus, but and prepare. But I do want to attempt to be very, very practical over the next few weeks and today as well. And today, it is my intention to address a very practical subject of getting ready to go to church. You know, I think that by and large, or generally speaking, I think that we generally give greater thought to preparing to go to all the other places we go to in life than we do to getting ready to go to church on Lord's Day morning. We usually plan out our day. I know my work day. I've got certain things I've got to get accomplished. I've been thinking about it and how am I going to do this, that, or another to accomplish this task or to pick up that material or whatever. I kind of have in my mind before I start the day and even get there what I'm going to do and what I need to do to prepare to get done whatever my work is. If you're in school, you know, my kids, is it A day, is it B day, I've got to have this book or this report done or whatever it is. You make preparations before you even get there so that you will be ready. If you have an appointment, a doctor's appointment, do I have to fast? Whatever. We generally give some forethought to the places that we go. Even shopping, you go to Walmart, you know, you might have a shopping list, or you just go with a hungry belly before the grocery store. You're thinking about it before you get there. But you know, we often fail to prepare ourselves for corporate worship on the first day of the week. There's often not a lot of forethought on what should we do to get ready to go to church. So today we're going to think a little bit about the, you might say, six P's in a pod or six P's to ponder before we even get to church. And I hope you come to church hungry. I hope you maybe now can come to church with a list of some things. And you know, I need to think about this before I even get here. And so if you have Psalm 122 before you, I would invite you to stand as I read Psalm 122 and verse number 1 for our text today, where the psalmist writes, "I was glad when they said to me, 'Let us go to the house of the Lord.'" And let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you that in your goodness and kindness to us, you have sustained us in the week past, that you have been with us and guided us in our work day and school day and all the things of last week. And we thank you for bringing us here on this first day of the week to this place so that we might fellowship with other believers, so that we might give, so that we might pray, so that we might turn our attention in a greater focus to how great you are and of the great things that you have done for us. Encourage us today in our most holy faith. And I pray this in the most holy name of our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And you may be seated. Well, as here we are at in Psalm 122, let me just say that this section of scripture is in a part that's a whole group of songs that are called the Songs of Ascent or Ascents. You might notice this at the beginning of each one of these psalms. In fact, from Psalm 120 to Psalm 134, there's 15 of these songs of ascents. And these are songs that the people of God sang on the way up to Jerusalem as they were ascending and going up to the Temple Mount, maybe on the weekly Sabbath. You know, they were to go up for corporate worship, and so they were walking up the mountain to the temple, or maybe during the required feast days of the year. And as they were going up to Jerusalem, they had these songs of ascents. That is, as they were walking up, these are the songs they sang. It's kind of interesting that these are the songs they sang, not when they got to church. Maybe they sang them when they got to church, but these were the songs they sang on the way to church. These were the prayers they prayed before they even got to the place of corporate worship. As they were preparing their hearts and minds and they were on the drive and on the walk and on the before they even got there. These are the things that were going through their minds. To maybe use an athletic analogy, before the teams play on the weekend, they go through quite a bit of practice during the week. Hey, before we get here, we're going to work on this play and we're going to do this. And they practice all these things during the week and then they put it into practice during the game. And you know, that's true for us. I mean, worship should not just be a one day a week thing. It should be something that's incorporated into our life every day. And then we get to do it together on Sunday. But before we even get here, you might think we need to go through a little bit of pre-game warm-up. We need to stretch a little bit and get ready for the game. To get ready for corporate worship. And so I want to give you just a short little list here. These are 6 P's in a pod or 6 P's to ponder before we come to church. And so let me start off with plan. We need to plan to go to church. Plan to attend. I mean, you know, we're New Testament believers, but even in the Old Testament, there were required meetings that the people were to plan to attend. One day in seven was set aside. It was part of the plan. There were certain feast days, whole week-long things. It was on the calendar, and they had to plan to attend. You know, I would say that by and large, church attendance is in rapid decline in our post-Christian culture. I mean, we've moved past a Christian culture by any stretch of the imagination. And it's just kind of out of vogue. It's not as common as it used to be. But since the pandemic, I do think that many have got out of the habit of attending church. It was kind of pushed within our society that church was deemed to be the most dangerous place on earth. And, you know, you just got to stay away because, you know, it's a danger to go there. You know, Walmart is safe, but the church is risky. And so, you know, it just kind of created a habit of life that people, you know, I don't want to go and attend and to assemble together in a building with other believers. It's easier to do it online or whatever. And a lot of people just got out of the habit, didn't make it a plan to attend. So let me just encourage you in a very practical way to put church on your calendar as a necessary weekly appointment. As it is any, you know, school, work, doctor's appointment, whatever, we put it down, I gotta do this at this time on this day. We plan to attend. In fact, make church attendance a non-negotiable priority. Is it a priority in life? So many things, you know, something else comes up and this, it easily goes by the wayside. But if we plan to attend, I think that is a practical way to get ready to go to church. In fact, don't just plan to attend, but encourage others to attend. I just read it here, Psalm 122:1. Notice he says, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. So here's the individual psalmist saying, and he's interacting with some people, and they were saying to him, hey, let's go to the house of the Lord. Remember, you know, Sabbath is coming. The Lord's Day is coming. Are you ready? Let's walk up the ascent together. Let's go together to church. And so they were talking among themselves and encouraging each other to go to church. It was part of their plan. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24 and 25, we read this. Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Let's just make it a part of our conversation with each other. We stimulate each other and encourage one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. You know, I was glad when they said, hey, let us go to the house of the Lord. They planned it and they encouraged others to plan it as well. So plan to attend. Also prepare yourself before you attend. Prepare yourself and prepare your family to attend church. We meet here not just in this corporate service, but beforehand there's a whole hour of Sunday school where you get to sit and you can talk and you can pray and interact with unbelievers, and we even have a book of Sunday school lessons that someone has studied during the week to help lead the discussion and to talk about it. And you can plan to come to church by maybe reading your Sunday school lesson. Or if you know the scripture passage of, the sermon, hey, we're coming up on Ephesians. And you know, when we go through it, you kind of know where we're going to be. Read it beforehand and pray about it and ask God to enlighten your minds, to prepare your mind and your heart to come to church. In fact, we are to prepare our minds. Mark chapter 12 and verse number 20, the greatest of all the commandments. We're to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our souls, with all of our minds, and with all of our strength. We ought to think about it a little bit before we get here. We ought to come focused with our minds engaged in a more pointed way on the first day of the week as we prepare ourselves and as we prepare our families to engage in corporate worship. And I would say maybe a practical way of preparation is we make good preparation by having an eager anticipation and enthusiasm when we get ready to go to church. It's part of the text today. He says, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. I rejoiced when someone reminded me, guess what? The first day of the week is just around the corner and we get to go to church on the Lord's day. I mean, there is some enthusiasm, some eager anticipation that I get to go and rub shoulders with other believers and to pray and to give and to fellowship and to read the Word and to hear about it. And I'm glad about this. Psalm 84, we get the same flavor. Psalm 84, the first of two verses. How lovely are your dwelling places, O Lord of hosts. My soul longed and even yearned for the courts of the Lord, and my heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. I mean, do you hear the anticipation and the eagerness and the longing? Oh, I was glad. I rejoiced. I'm longing to be there. Another similar one, Psalm 42. The first of two verses, this one's kind of familiar. As a deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Do you hear the eager anticipation? Man, I can't wait. It's just like I am so thirsty. I can't wait to get there so I can have a drink. That is, the deer pants for the water brook, so I pant. I want to be there within the corporate body of Christ, and so can get the washing of the water by the Word. Maybe a silly or a practical illustration of this from Winnie the Pooh. Are you Eeyore or Tigger in your anticipation in coming to church? Oh, well, you know, it's Sunday and maybe I'll go to church, you know. Or the wonderful things about Sunday is Sunday's a wonderful thing, you know. I mean, what is our mindset? How do I prepare my heart and my mind and even my emotion and how I think about getting ready to go to church? Oh, kids, come on, we got to go to church. This is the best day of the week. Of all the days of the week, we get to go and to sing and to be around other believers and to hear God's Word. We make good preparation with an eager anticipation and enthusiasm. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. So plan to attend. Prepare yourself. Prepare your family with enthusiasm. And then when we make good preparation in coming, when we come pure. Psalm 29:2 in the New King James says, we are to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. A good way, an important way, a necessary way to prepare ourselves to come to church, to get ready to go to church is to say, am I pure? Because if we come to worship the Lord, we are to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. That is our attire in a holy array in getting ready to go to church. You know, sometimes I dress a lot different during the week. I get dirty at work and whatnot, but I got my son to go to meetings, right? You know, you gotta dress a little bit different sometimes, but you know, oftentimes I think we give more attention to our outward adornment than to being arrayed in holiness when we come to church, because our outside threads don't make a difference. You know, man looks at the outside, but God looks at the heart. Sometimes we'll sing this chorus, give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. And when I'm thinking about getting ready to go to church, it's the focus is not what do I look like on the outside, but am I pure on the inside? Am I ready to worship the Lord in the spirit and in the beauty of holiness? We serve a holy God, and he tells us in 1 Peter 1:16, be ye holy, for I am holy. Give us clean hands and give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another, you know. Kind of reminds me of another admonition our Lord gave about before we come to church, or maybe to examine ourselves when we come to church. In Matthew chapter 5, he talks about corporate worship. And verses 23 and 24, he says, therefore, if you're presenting your offering, you know, here the prayer has been prayed, the offering plate, and it's passing around, you know, and you're presenting your offering at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you. Leave your offering there before the altar and go first be reconciled to your brother, and then come and present your offering. I don't know how it worked in your families, but sometimes Sunday mornings can be a very stressful, aggravating time. You know, you got to get ready and get going. And did your families ever have a fight on the way to church? This is how we prepared to go to church, you know, got to get all the clothes and all this. But then you bicker and fight on the way to corporate worship. Now, our family fights on the way to church shows us our need for church. But church should show us our need for confession and cleansing and reconciliation. You know, he said, hey, you're going to prepare to come. You kind of need to purify some things up just a little bit. And this is nothing new. When we prepare ourselves to come to church, we should say, am I pure? Am I ready to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness? In fact, the prophet Jeremiah, or God through the prophet Jeremiah, got on to the people of God in Jeremiah 7. Just listen to this a bit. Because, they were ready to go up to the Temple Mount, to Jerusalem, and, you know, and all of this. And in Jeremiah 7, beginning in verse 9, God through Jeremiah says, will you steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and offer sacrifices to Baal and walk after other gods that you have not known, and then come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered, that we may do all these abominations? Has this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your sight? Behold, I, even I, have seen it, declares the Lord. Isn't this interesting? He says, hey, you're getting all your Sunday go to meetings and you look so good on the outside and you think that you can live like the devil during the week and just show up here and be an acceptable worshiper in my sight? In fact, Ezekiel, in Ezekiel 23, he kind of gives a graphic description about this. Ezekiel 23:39, for when they had slaughtered their children for their idols, they entered my sanctuary on the same day to profane it. And lo, thus they did within my house. Child sacrifice in the morning and then show up to church. Go to the abortion mill and then show up to church. Hey, and he's like, no. He said, you need to come to church pure. The Lord's house is not to be a den of robbers. Church is not a place for us to cloak our sin, but it is a place for us to repent of our sin and confess our sin and to be cleansed of our sin, to where we say, Lord, give us pure hands and give us clear hearts. Help us to worship you in the beauty of holiness and purify us before we even get here. Otherwise, maybe we shouldn't come here. You know, it'd be better off if people stayed away from church if they weren't going to come and try to be pure, because we are not acceptable worshipers. Anyway, so we're to plan, we're to prepare, we're to be pure, and we're to pray. You know, what are we to do before we get ready to come to church? This place is to be a house of prayer, but let me say your house should be a house of prayer. And you should pray before you get here. Pray for yourself and pray for those that are in our midst and the others that will attend. In fact, if you don't know what to pray, let me just give you, like I said, the notes will be available afterwards if you want to, you're interested in, but let me just give you two passages of scripture. These will be in the notes. Philippians 1, verses 9 to 11. What should you pray for yourself and pray for others? Here's a good list. In this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment. Boy, there's some things you could pray about. So that you may approve the things that are excellent, in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ, and being filled with the fruit of righteousness which comes through Jesus Christ. Well, there's a good prayer to pray right there. A nice little list. Pray that about yourself and pray it about others in the church. Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 to 11. Another one, a very similar, Colossians 1, verses 9 to 12. Listen to this prayer. For this reason, since the day I heard about it, we have not ceased to pray and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will. Pray for that. And that in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, and that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthening with all power according to His glorious might, and for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience. I mean, there's another really good list. I mean, let me just give you three things to pray. Pray for yourself and others. Pray that love may abound more and more, and not only in your own heart, but in this place. I tell you, the devil always wants to sow division, whether it's economic or ethnic or political, and he wants to come into the church and sow division. Pray that love may abound, not only in your own heart, but with other people around here, that we would be reconciled with each other. Pray that we would be filled with the Spirit of wisdom and knowledge. And pray that we would walk worthy of our calling in righteousness and holiness. Pray those things before you even get here. That's the pre-game warm-up. That's the stretching before you enter into the game of corporate worship. Pray for yourself and pray for others. And let me just say, pray for your pastor. I love it when someone says, I'm praying for you. I usually reply, I need it. Pray for your pastor. Well, Tim, what specifically, what practically can I pray for you? Well, let me give you another very biblical prayer. Pray this prayer for me. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18 and 19, verse 19 and 20. A very biblical prayer to pray. Pray on my behalf. Here's the apostle saying, pray this for me, that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth, to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, and that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. There's two good verses you can pray for me, and pray it for me every week. Another one in Galatians 1 in verse number 10, he talks about that if someone wants to be a man pleaser, if I'm seeking to please man, I cease to be a servant of Christ. Now, there's something about me that's not unique to me, but I like to be liked. I do. I like to be liked. But you can pray for me that I wouldn't be a man pleaser. Because there is a huge temptation for the preacher to prepare a message that people want to hear. And when that becomes the guiding light and the four, what do they want to hear? Now it's, what do they need to hear? Pray that I would have boldness. Pray that I would have clarity of speech and communication. You know, that sometimes it's clear in my mind, but it's not clear when it comes out of my mouth. And so pray that there's good communication. And pray that I would fear God and not fear man. Because, man, that's a biggie. There's some practical things that you can pray, not only for yourself and others, but pray for me. So pray before you get here. Also, participate. You know, this is, we say corporate worship. This is not just a one-man show. It's not just June singing and me preaching. This is corporate worship. We come to church to participate together. We should all be bringing something to the table when we come here. We're not to come just to be casual observers in a service. We are to engage and to participate. I mean, even in it's hard for y'all to participate in this time of teaching, but you know, we got Sunday night and Wednesday night and we can talk back and forth, engage in those times. There's a time we don't jump in when June is singing sometimes, but there's songs that are congregational songs. Participate in the singing. Participate. We have a time of prayer. If you want to pray aloud, that's great. When people participate or just pray in your, you know, silently in your mind, but participate in the time of prayer. Participate in the fellowship with one another. As we encourage each other in our most holy faith, we engage, and we've all had a rough week, and so we need to engage with one another and participate in the corporate body of Christ when we meet together. We have a time of our service. Which, why do we have a public offering? You know, I mean, we're not to toot our own horn and all that stuff, but because it's the time of corporate giving. Guess what? That's a time that's something that we can participate together in corporate worship. Psalm 96, get it here. Psalm 96 and verse 8. Da-da-da. Practice my sword drill here. Psalm 96 and verse 8. Says, ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts and worship the Lord in holy attire. I mean, here we come and we're ascribing to the Lord glory, and then, Yeah, we're also to bring an offering and come into His courts. Even in the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians 16, upon the first day of the week is when we come and we collect, because we get to participate together in the worship of giving. What about just greeting one another? Psalm 84:10, you know, better to be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. We need greeters. We need doorkeepers. We need people who participate when we come in to corporate worship. And in this, let me just say in this appeal or about participate when we come together, let me just say be like Mike. I tell you, Mike is a guy that loves to participate when we come together as a church. Mike is eager to be involved in whatever he can be involved in, whether it's greeting or handing out the bulletins or changing a light bulb. Every week he comes and he helps me with my mic. He's Mike the mic man. Because whatever he can do, he's going to be in and do. And so we ought to be like Mike. We need to use our gift. God has gifted us all, and so we need to participate, and we need to not just bring our gift, but to use our gift, because guess what? We all need each other. And when we meet together, we are to use our giftedness for the benefit of each other. I'm glad for those that are musicians and that can play and sing. And, you know, we all have different gifts, something that we're bringing to participate in. And so be eagerly involved as you participate, not just a casual observer, but to engage as someone who participates in corporate worship. And lastly here, let me just say our last appeal to... Well, let's hear here. We'll say we plan, we prepare, we are to come pure. You pray, you participate. We're to ponder. We already mentioned that we're to love the Lord our God with all of our minds. But our Lord tells us in Luke 8:18, be careful how you listen. Interesting thing and instructive that our Lord tells us. In the NIV, it says, consider carefully how you listen. As we come to engage in a corporate worship service and preparing to come to church, we need to be careful how we listen. We are a people that have a pondering faith. We're to ponder. We are to pay attention to what goes on, not just as sponges and, you know, that just soak in everything. We're to have a filter on that, and not be gullible to things that might happen at church. We are to pay attention. Let me just say, pay attention to the words of the songs that we sing. I mean, when we sing them, are we just singing them by rote? I mean, do we actually mean what we're singing? Do we believe them? There's a song I'll have to say I'm scared to sing whenever it comes up. You know, I surrender all, I surrender some, you know. I mean, when I sing that, do I really mean it? Am I thinking about what I'm saying or what I'm hearing or what I'm singing or, you know, ponder it. Think about it. I mean, when we have a time of prayer, can you give your amen to the prayers? As you might hear somebody that's, you know, they're praying, and I know with just the way my brain works, if somebody else is praying aloud, I can't pray. I gotta listen. It just messes me up. So I have to listen. And so, you know, I'll hear a prayer, somebody's praying a prayer, and I'm listening to what they're saying, and this is what they're making a request of the Lord, and though I can't be engaged in prayer at the time, but I can hear what they're saying, and I can say, yes, Lord, answer June's prayer, answer Mario's prayer, you know, answer Alberta's prayer. I agree with that. Amen. Another thing, don't just test the songs and ponder the songs and the prayers. Test everything. Everything you hear in corporate worship, you're to test. 1 Thessalonians 5:21, it says, test all things. hold on to what is good and forsake what is evil. And even when we come to church, test it all, because error can creep into the church service, into the prayers, to the songs, to the sermon. Test everything by the Word of God. Can I say test the preacher? I've said before, beware of the preachers. Test me. Test every preacher. Acts chapter 17 and verses 10 and 11. Here, Paul goes in and he's in Berea, and it says, you know, he went into the synagogue, and the guys of Berea, they were more noble than the people in Thessalonica, because they examined the scriptures daily to see if what he said was squared up with scripture. And if it was good for them to test the apostle Paul, who was inspired by God and directly sent by our risen Lord, if it's good to test him, then hey, I mean, sure as heaven, it's good to test me and test every preacher you hear. Because our Lord says, be careful how you listen. Consider carefully what you're hearing. Ponder it. And then when you test it and filter it through the Word of God, apply it to your life. I admitted at the first part of this message that, you know, practical application, I'm going to be a weak part in my, you know, in my preaching, because sometimes I leave that, you know, to the Holy Spirit. You have to apply the Bible to your own life and apply what you're hearing and singing to your own life, because you know what's going on in your own life. And guess what? The things that we engage in during a public church service, a public corporate worship service, they are to move us to action. When we come here and we sit and we sing and we pray and we hear a sermon and we read the Bible and we do these things, this is not just so we can collect some information. This is not just information. It is to be motivation for us to action, to move us to do something. That's why generally in some form or fashion there's an invitation at the end, because it's like, okay, I got this information, now what do I do about it? Is there something that I need to do about it? And guess what? Here's the thing that every invitation is, every sermon, everything should move us towards repentance in some area of our lives. You know, in my preparation, all the, what are things I need to repent of? And then I get to give a small portion of what I've studied all week. And so you're to think, okay, what do I need to repent of in my life? Because remember, repentance is not a one-time event. Just as faith isn't a one-time event. I mean, they go together. Faith is a lifelong event, and repentance is a lifelong event. And so when you come and you're getting ready and you've prepared yourself and you've done the pregame warm-ups and you're here and you're engaged and you hear and you're being careful what you listen to and you hear something, then ask yourself, in light of what you have heard today, in light of that song or in light of that prayer, in light of that scripture, in light of that sermon, in light of the things that have gone on in a church service, is there something I need to repent of? Is there something I should stop doing? I'm doing this, and man, I should stop doing that. That's one way to repent. Or is there something I should start doing? You know, I'm being neglectful in this area, and I need to repent. And either stop doing something or to start doing something. And so ponder what you hear. Be careful how you hear. And if you feel the conviction of God's Word upon your life in a certain area, maybe it's in planning to come to church or preparing or being pure or praying before we get here or participating when we get here or how you're pondering and listening and you're convicted about that, then turn the conviction into action. Because that's kind of the purpose. Kind of light a fire under us a little bit so we can go on the rest part of our week and live out our faith so we can get in and come back next week and light another fire to turn the conviction of our corporate service into action. So we're going to end with an invitation. There's going to be a, we're going to have an invitation, and we're going to sing, I don't know what number it is in the blue book. We're going to sing, We're Marching to Zion. So why don't we stand? This kind of fits our service today. It gives the thought that, hey, we're marching up to Zion. We're going there. And so we're going to use this time of invitation and do, if you were convicted about anything today, think about it and turn that conviction into action.
Come. We that love the Lord and let our joys be known. Join in a song with sweet accord. Join in a song with sweet accord. And thus around the throne, and thus around the throne, we're marching to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion. Zion, the beautiful city of God.
And just a reminder that our weekly ritual of marching up to Zion and getting ready and preparing to go to church one day in seven is a parable, is an illusion for us on that great day to where we get to walk into the eternal Zion and to dwell in the city of God. Well, again, a reminder that we will not be meeting here tonight. We're going to meet at Cherokee Hills Baptist Church. It starts, I believe, about 6 o'clock. And so, I hope you do come for that as we get to meet with some other believers in other churches and kind of hear about some things that we're doing together in the churches in our association or in the Baptist network here. So, and also, we'll put the notes if you're interested today, and then the books are over here on the side, and it'll also be in the back. Well, I'll dismiss us with a word of benediction. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you, and may God cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn to you and smile, and may you have peace on this day and in all of your days and on that final great judgment day. Amen. Amen. And you are dismissed.